Welcome once again to the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Cassieri. Today on the Pastor's Study, I want us to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 2, and we'll look at the passage in verses 13 through 17. John, chapter number 2, verses 13 through 17. Let's read down through those passage together. And the Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now, we know by studying the scriptures that God has dealt with man in various places. For example, in the past, in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law, we see first of all the tabernacle. The tabernacle. God dealt with man and dwelled in the tabernacle, and of course this was the structure that the children of Israel carried around as they wandered in the wilderness, and they would set it up, amen, as they were led by God. And we see reference to this tabernacle if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. In Exodus chapter 25, we read in verses 8 through 9, And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So here we have God giving the instructions to Moses for the tabernacle to be built. Also look with me, if you would, in the 40th chapter of Exodus, chapter 33, chapter 40, verses 33 to 38. We read in beginning in verse 33, And he reared up the court around about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So we see as they were led by that cloud, amen, when that cloud moved, then they would pack up the tabernacle and follow until the cloud stopped, amen, and would remain in that place until they were led by the cloud again, amen. Then we see later on that a temple was built, amen. And that's where God dwelt with man, in the temple, physical temple. And we see reference to that temple in the book of 2 Samuel, if you turn there with me, please, and follow along. 2 Samuel, in chapter number 7, we read in verses 1 through 4 about the temple. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in. And of course, we know that because of David's sin, he never gets to build the temple. But we see that the temple is built under David's son, Solomon. And we see reference to that in 1 Kings chapter 6 in verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. So we see then we've moved from the tabernacle to the temple. And again, we're looking at the past under the Old Testament law where God dwelt with man. And then, of course, we see that God dwelt with among men in the flesh, in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. Because we have to remember that the time that Jesus walked on this earth dispensationally was still under the Old Testament law. And we see in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 14, in the Word, and of course we know the Word is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God dwelt with man through his Son, who took on the form of a man, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we read also a great passage of Scripture in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, which talks of the incarnation. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and of course in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So then we see in the past that God dealt with man in three places, the tabernacle, the temple, and then his Son, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwelt among men in the flesh. Amen. Now, present day, we know that Christ indwells each believer. Each believer is the temple of the living God. Look it with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, in verses 16 through 17, the Bible says, Jesus says, And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. That's why no one can lose their salvation, because they can't lose the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And that's what Jesus promised his disciples. When he left, he would send another comforter. And that comforter would dwell with each believer and in each believer. Amen. We read in verse 20 of John chapter 14. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. If you're a born-again believer, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that he died, He died for your sins. He was buried and arose again the third day to save you, and that alone saves you. Then you have an indwelling Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ indwells you at this moment. Then we see, of course, the promise did come the day the church began the body of Christ at Pentecost. And we have the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians in his first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter number 6, in verses 19 and 20, we read, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we see then, presently, the temple, each believer is a temple, and that's where the Spirit of God dwells in each believer, amen. So far we've looked at the past, we've looked at the present, and now we want to look at the future, the tribulation. We know in the tribulation that the temple at Jerusalem will be rebuilt, and the sacrifices will be reinstituted there. And we have a reference in the 9th chapter of Daniel, verse 27, talking about the Antichrist will cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease. And what this indicates is the temple must have been rebuilt, amen, and is going to be rebuilt in the very near future. And then we see in the millennium, which follows the tribulation, the millennium, the second coming, the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth, Christ will be sitting physically and literally in David's throne in the holy city of Jerusalem. And the millennial temple will be built. And if you want a detailed description of the millennial temple that will be built during the thousand-year reign of Christ, you can find that. It's described in the book of Ezekiel in chapters 40 to 48. Now, what about eternity? Eternity future? Well, we know that the New Jerusalem, amen, the New Jerusalem that the Apostle John saw coming down from the sky, from the heavens, will be the final home of the believers, of the church, of the body of Christ. And there'll be no need of a temple, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, we're told in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22, are the temple, amen. So by studying the scriptures, we see also that there is a cleansing of the temple by God, past, present, in future. Now, in the past, in our passage that we began with, over there in the Gospel of John, chapter number 2, in verses 13 through 17, we see a past cleansing of the temple by the temple himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was restoring the temple for its intended purpose, which was the worship of Almighty God. The temple had become a house of merchandise. If you think about it today, our churches today have for the most part become houses of merchandise, offering every worldly program under the sun except the Son of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We see that they offer from so-called Christian aerobic classes to AA meetings and to every self-help group imaginable. We see very little teaching and preaching of the Bible goes on in our churches today. Very little emphasis on prayer and praising and worshiping of God. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus said to the church of Ephesus that they had lost their first love, Jesus himself. And then we see the present cleansing of the temple. In our present age of grace, When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and only Him for the payment of their sins, and they secure a home in heaven as a result, then instantaneously the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes and indwells that person until the day of redemption. At that time, the Scripture tells us that Jesus cleanses our body inside so God can dwell inside. For example, we read in the first epistle of John in chapter 1 and verse 7, we're told the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We read in Revelations in chapter 1 and verse number 5, we're told, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. In the book of Titus, in chapter 3, verse 5, we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. A person can never lose their salvation, amen, but they ever need to be cleansed on a daily basis from being in the world. And how, as a Christian, do we do that? Well, number one, by the Word of God. The psalmist tells us over in that great Psalm 119, which primarily deals and talks about the Word of God, in Psalm 119 and verse number 9, the Bible declares, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The question is asked. The answer is, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. We read in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter number 5, we read in verse number 26, talking about the church, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And of course, in this great fifth chapter, we have how the union between a husband and wife, a marriage, is like the marriage between Christ and His body, amen, and His bride. How's another way that we can get a daily cleansing? By confession of sin. Confession of sin. The great psalmist David said in Psalm 51 in verse number 2, he wrote the following. He declared to God, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I believe this man was weeping, and great tears of sorrow were pouring down his face. He poured out his heart to the Lord. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, Lord. Cleanse me from my sin. We have a great promise if we confess our sins over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What about the future? The Scripture tells us that in the near future, the temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt and the sacrifices and oblations reinstituted. Israel will make a peace treaty with the world leader, with the Antichrist at the time, and Israel will seem for a time to be at peace with its enemies. And we read in the book of Daniel, in chapter number 9 of the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, we read in verse number 27, in Daniel number 9, and He shall confirm that covenant for 1 week. That's a 7-year period. In the midst of the week He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. However, we see the world leader, the Antichrist, will break the treaty, desecrate the temple, and set up his image in the temple that people will worship. Again, in the book of Revelations, in chapter 13, and verses 13 and 14, we read, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." We see the desecration of the temple is called the abomination of desolation. And we see this in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, as Jesus is talking to his disciples about the period of tribulation. He tells them in Matthew 24 and verse 15, he says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whereso readeth, let him understand." And of course, this abomination of desolation is spoken about in the book of Daniel in chapter 9, verse 27 that we just read, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. The Antichrist will sacrifice unclean things in the temple. And we see a reference to this in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. In verse number 3, "He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. Their soul delighteth in their abomination." We see that the Antichrist will sacrifice in the temple men that he has killed and murdered, and dogs and pigs, amen. However, Jesus Christ will come a second time in the flesh to cleanse the nation of Israel and the physical and literal temple at Jerusalem, amen. We read of his return with the body of Christ in Revelations chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. "And I saw," John says, "heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine white linen. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen. And we see more of this cleansing of the temple in Ezekiel chapter 36. We won't turn there. In verses 21 to 32, we see the cleansing of the nation of Israel. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 36. During Christ's 1,000-year reign on the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ will sit in David's throne in Jerusalem. And each nation, amen, each nation, we read, each nation will have to come each year to worship him. And we see this in a prophetic reference in the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah with me, please. in Zechariah, chapter number 14, we read in verses 16 and following, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even unto them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacle." If those nations will not come up, my dear friend, and worship the Lord once a year at the Feast of Tabernacle, he's basically going to shut their water off. Amen? Verse 19, "This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacle. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all that they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. In that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." The Bible tells us clearly that after the thousand-year reign of Christ, that Satan will be loose a little season and go after, against, and after the nation of Israel, but Satan and his followers will be cast into a lake of fire where the Antichrist and the false prophet are already waiting for him. Oh, what a scene we read in Revelations chapter 20, in verses 7 through 10 and following. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city," that's Jerusalem, "and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be forever, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that after the great white throne judgment of all the unsaved dead is over, and earth and the earth and the heavens are purged and cleansed by fire, then, and only then, will eternity future begin. There will never again be a need for Jesus to cleanse the temple, because there will be no temple. The scriptures tell us that the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of God will be the temple. Let me ask you this question as we close our study on the cleansing of the temple, past, present, and future. Christian, do you need to cleanse your temple? We have two means to do that: by the Word of God, amen, and by confessing your sin. That's the only way. Does your temple need a good cleansing today? Won't you come to Jesus? Kneel down before Him. Confess your sins. Get right with God. Open up the Word of God. Maybe you haven't been opening up the Word of God. Amen. Open it up. You don't have to read 10 chapters a day. The main thing is to open it up and read it each day and take it in and meditate therein. Amen. If we do that, the Bible promises in Joshua that we will prosper and have good success. Maybe some of you are listening Amen. If you're an unsaved person, you need to believe on Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And he promises that he will cleanse you from your sins by his precious blood and secure you in heaven, a home. Won't you come? Well, that's all the time we have once again on the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me. If you stay tuned, the good people of this radio station that you're listening to me to,